In today's episode, I'd like to reflect a bit on the senseless and tragic shooting in South Minneapolis this week. Stay tuned. Hello, friends. Pastor Tim Westermeyer here, senior pastor of St. Philip Deacon in the western suburbs of Minneapolis. Good to be with you as always. This week, we were going to do part two of a two-part series that I started last week about a special about Billy Joel, but I'm actually taping this on the 28th of August, which, as you no doubt know, is the day after news of an awful, terrible, tragic shooting in South Minneapolis came out at Annunciation Catholic Church and School. So I felt like I couldn't not speak about that. And so I want to postpone part two of the Billy Joel thing to reflect a little bit on that shooting. And the most important thing I can say today is what I've already said, which is that it was senseless, tragic, awful, horrible, evil. I could go on and on. And all of our hearts, not only in Minneapolis and the suburbs, but in the whole country, and indeed I know news of this is spread around the world, our hearts break with all of those who were affected by the shooting. And I could just end it there and invite you to keep all of those people in your prayers, but that actually is part of what I want to reflect on. I was actually driving back to the cities after a couple days away with my wife when I was listening to the news coverage of this, and a local politician said something along the lines of, "We don't need your thoughts and prayers." And I'm not trying to pick a fight here. I'm not. This is a horrible situation, and I realize people are getting up and trying to say helpful things, and clearly, like the rest of us, this individual was angry and upset. I think, though, that comment about "we don't need your prayers" betrayed sort of a misunderstanding of what prayer is about. I think the assumption, I'm not trying to pick a fight here. I think based on the context, though, the assumption is when we say, "Well, I'll pray for you," we sort of say, "I'll pray for you," or "pray for the situation," or "pray for whatever," and then we wash our hands of it and are sort of go about our life. I just want to reinforce that historically Christians have understood that we pray not because it changes God, but ultimately because it changes us, which means that when we pray about whatever we're praying about, for ourselves or for others, we are trying to align our own lives more closely with what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, namely that God's kingdom can be realized here on earth. And that may move us beyond prayer to other kinds of action or activity in the world that try to make this world more like God's kingdom, which an event like yesterday certainly reminds us that we are not there yet. We sent out an email to the St. Philip Deacon congregation, the pastors did, speaking into the situation. And again, those are just words, right? And yet, even this morning, I received some thank yous from people who were grateful for those words. Among them, and thanks to everyone who reached out to me, one said, more than this, but I'll just read, "Thank you for these words of comfort during this very sad time." Another thanked me for this podcast and mentioned that she's becoming a fan of G.K. Chesterton as a result, which I'm actually going to quote from in a minute. And then she says this, which I think is quite wise. She says, "As we all make our way through life, there are horrors like the Minneapolis shooting in God's house. Prayers," again, she says, "for all who are touched by this." So when we pray, I've already said this, part of what happens is we align, or what we hope happens is we align our own understanding, our sense of who we are, of our purpose in life, with God's sense of who we are a little more closely. And that means understanding, hopefully, through our prayer life, things like grace and hope. And when our prayer moves us to action, I actually spoke about this in my sermon last week a little bit, not aware that this was going to come up, of course, but if you listen to that, maybe we'll link to it. I talk about how we have to let go of anger and bitterness and resentment rage, which is obviously one obvious response to an event like yesterday. And so when we pray, we remind ourselves that God is love and that our own actions have to spring from that sense of love. And so I have a couple of quotes here I'm going to read. Again, they're only words, but it turns out words can shape and form and mold who we are. And these are some from some very trusted authors. I've mentioned them many times here. The first is from Frederick Buechner. It's an entry called Grace, and I was thinking about this on my drive in. The grace of God means something like, here is your life. Here is the world. And then this line, beautiful and terrible things will happen. Christians have always been realistic about that. The Bible is filled with both beautiful and terrible things. So as awful and tragic and devastating as an event like yesterday was, in a way, as people who understand and recognize that we live in a broken, fallen world, as sad as it sounds, it shouldn't entirely surprise us. So again, Buechner, beautiful and terrible things will happen. And then this, don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can ever separate us. It's for you I created the universe. I love you. Again, that does nothing I'm saying here, nothing, I want to be very clear about this, takes away the sting, the pain, the tragedy that happened yesterday, but it's a reminder that the God we worship, and I talked about this in an episode recently too, which maybe we'll link to, the God we worship is with us in our pain, and indeed has experienced pain himself and will never leave us alone, okay? And there is something to be said for that. So that's that entry about grace by Frederick Buechner. And then the other thing I thought of was, as it happens, by G.K. Chesterton, noted by this person who responded to me in this email. And this is from his book, Heretics, which was a prelude to his more famous book called Orthodoxy. And this is, it's chapter 12, and here he's talking, among other things, about, well, he's talking about the Christian virtues, one of which is hope. And he says a few things that, again, I think are helpful for us to reflect on at a moment like this, to remind us again of the kind of people that God is shaping us to be, the kind of virtues that God is inviting us to live into. And so here he says, I'm going to skip a few things, but just lift up a few sentences about hope. The most central one is maybe the first one I'm going to read, which is hope means hoping when things are hopeless or it is no virtue at all. And I'm going to read some more of this, but I guess I would remind us all that in a fallen and broken world, if we give up on the hope, and specifically as Christians, the hope of the resurrection, then in a way you could say evil wins. And so in the midst of tragedy and difficulty and pain, as Christians, we are invited to be reminded that we are a people whose hope is in the triumph of life over death, okay, and the hope of the resurrection. So again, Chesterton, hope means hoping when things are hopeless or it is no virtue at all. Hope is the power of being cheerful in circumstances which we know to be desperate. And then he says, it is true there is a state of hope which belongs to bright prospects and the morning, but that is not the virtue of hope. The virtue of hope exists only in earthquake and eclipse. In other words, only in difficulty, only in pain, only in darkness. For practical purposes, it is at the hopeless moment that we require the hopeful person. And the world needs some hopeful people, friends. And the virtue either does not exist at all or begins to exist at that moment. Again, it begins to exist at the hopeless moment. That's when hope begins. Exactly at the instant when hope ceases to be reasonable, it begins to be useful. Again, only words, and yet those words remind us of who we are called to be as Christians, as people of hope. And I do pray, and here I'll quote from the email we sent yesterday, we do hold in prayer all those who mourn, all who are injured, and all those whose lives are forever changed. In the face of such pain, we cling to the promise of the crucified and risen Christ, who meets us in our deepest suffering and assures us that death will not have the final word. And as we pray that Christ's light might shine in this darkness, bringing comfort to the brokenhearted and strength to us all, as we labor for a world where every child is safe and cherished. As always, thanks for being with me today, and until next time, God bless and be well.